I had the privilege this week of going to the Los Angeles area and then being a part of the TV program called Praise the Lord. And I was told when I got there that I would probably be on the early part of the program, but the Lord arranged it so that I was on the early part and the part that wasn't so early and the later part too. This program begins at 8 o'clock. There was about 3/4 of an hour that there was another brother that was on the program. But outside of that, I was on the program for well over 3 hours, maybe 3 hours and a half. And it seemed that the messages that the Lord has made so real to my heart found such a ready response with the people that were there viewing, and also the people out that were viewing on the television. There's quite a congregation right there. Brother Paul Crouch, yes, first time I had met him, asked me if I would give a challenge to the people that were watching on television and let them know just exactly what was going on. So I did. I let them know that the restlessness, that striving, the conflict within was undoubtedly God moving upon them. I let them know that if a member of their family knew God, that God had a special place for them, and that he was not angry with them, but that they were highly favored of God. And I encouraged them to slip their hand in God's and to take advantage of this display of God's love and God's kindness toward them. Do you know that people called in from everywhere? Following the program, Paul Crouch brought a stack of papers that thick of people who had called in, most of them, to turn their life back to God. Many, many of them backsliders that had come back to the Lord, and many who had parents that they wouldn't listen to anymore, or members, relatives. He said that this stack of names represented, according to polls that they had and the trends that they had established, represented probably only 5% of the people that had been really moved on or that had accepted Christ. But there were about 2,500 that had called in during that time and said, "We want to get back to God. We want him." And if that was only 5%, and he said it, some of their polls showed what way higher than that. That would be, conservatively speaking, 25,000 people dropping on their knees and calling on God. Hallelujah. Wasn't that worthwhile? Praise God. Praise God. When I got home on Friday, the phone had undoubtedly been ringing a long time before I got home, but there were calls that came in, and the first call that I took was from a lady in Boston. She had been reading the book. Somebody has gotten her a book, and she was reading in the chapter where it says that the family members, their names are written down, the reservations are made, but they need to confirm the reservation, and that God was working on the families. So she called to tell me that she was really concerned about members of her family, her sisters and other members of the family. And I could tell the way she was talking, the Lord spoke to my heart that this lady doesn't know the Lord either. And so I said, "Well, how is it with you?" She says, "Well, I don't know him either." I knew she was fishing for that. I could hear another voice besides the one that that was on the phone. And so she turned her life over to God right there on the phone. Just halfway through the chapter about the families. About 15 minutes later, another lady called up, this time from Virginia. And she said, I just have to turn my life over to God. Someone had talked to her, she had heard just a little announcement of it on the 700 Club. And so she had gotten the name, she had heard it as they made the announcement when the hunters were there. She called up and she said, I must have God. And so I prayed with her. She turned her life over to Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that from Friday evening when I got home through the day yesterday, I know there had to be at least 20 or more long-distance telephone calls. People, many of them turning their lives over to God, others that just wanted prayer that God would take the proper place in their lives, that they would be a blessing, or that their families would come to know the Lord. Hallelujah. God is doing what he said he would do. Praise God. And I feel so excited about what he's doing. And so confident, so happy in the Lord, knowing that when God makes a promise, he lives to keep his promise. Praise God. I know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over what's taking place. I would just like to give you an opportunity right now just to clap your hands and praise the Lord right now. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Things are happening. I don't know how many calls the station there may have had afterwards, but I understand they played the program again on Saturday, and we covered a wide area of different parts of the country. Praise the Lord. This morning, in knowing what God is doing, our hearts are filled with real expectancy. But I want to point you not to the experience, but to what the experience is leading us to. The broad truths of the Word of God that may have been a little cloudy, they may have been unclear, but God is bringing illumination to the Word of God and making the Word come alive and making it real. The truths that are in that book are truths that are found right here in the Word of God. Not one of those messages, not one of those experiences has come without taking me back to the Word of God and the strong support of the Bible. Now, there are two dangers that are present and have always been present, that even happened in Bible times, when God worked in special ways. The first danger is in turning God off and saying, well, there's really nothing to it, so what? What's so great about that? And so on. I've heard a few reports of people who said, thank God we have the Word of God. We don't need anything else to quicken us or to show us. We have the Word. We know what the blazed trail down through the middle of the Word says, and so we're content with that. And as a result, good, honest-hearted people have oftentimes closed their minds. Unbelief has shut them out of the broad There he is, broad pastures of the word that God has opened up to them. The second danger, and this danger is equally as great, and it's been present also in the word when God brought an experience, and that is for people to glory in that experience and use that experience as a dwelling place where they stop, not realizing that God has used and intended that experience to be a doorway leading into new dimensions of truth and of hope and of life. It would be like the children of Israel standing on the brink of the Jordan River and seeing the great cloud of water on one side, and they enjoying the little trip back across that river so much, they said to Moses or to Joshua, "Joshua, why don't we change our plans here? And we know that this is a path into the promised land, but it's so much fun looking at that big wall of water and walking across the gravel here. Let's draw a line right here and just go back and forth and live in this great experience all the rest of our lives. What do you say?" Well, there wasn't anybody really that said that. There were a few that got the notion, though, however. But Joshua let them know, hey, there's other great experiences as you move ahead. There's a lot of ground to conquer. So we need to keep in mind, never despise what God is doing. But in going ahead, do not forget the gateway. Do not forget the great experience, but don't live in the experience. This is very, very, very important. Now, there are some who, and here's the danger of living just in an experience. The posts of this gate can become wearisome after a while because it's not leading you anywhere. You're standing in the gate. The reason I feel this is very important, and we're going to duplicate this tape and multiply the numbers so that they can be sent out various parts. We're living in a time when God is going to be revealing himself in new ways. This is a time when there will be many, many more angelic appearances. There will be visions. There will be dreams. There are going to be times when it seems that the earth would almost shake with the moving of God's Holy Spirit. But people will become involved in a variety of different experiences, so that they may each one be in a different doorway. None of them was a definite commitment to God. Now the experiences can grow old if you just stand in the door experience. But the Word of God never grows old. And the experiences that he brings to us, and I am thankful to God that the experiences that I have presented to you have come from God's heart, and God in knowing that the Word lives and abides forever has wrapped these experiences in the Word of God. And to the point that the Word of God means more to me right now than it has ever meant in my whole life. I can quote from the Word truths and references by the hundreds. I know, Jeff, I was just teaching a guesstimate here recently, and I know that even then I was just falling way short, but I received 2,000 portions of Scripture while I was there with the Lord. Different Scriptures used in different ways in that throne room experience. But since that time, the angelic visitors have brought what seems to be at least another 2,000 records. And that they have so burned them into my heart, to my mind, that God is honoring His Word. He's making His Word real to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And had some say, well, why remember the experience if it's the Word that God wants to make real? You know that in every experience where God moved supernaturally that's recorded in the Word, they recorded not only the truth, the dimension of truth that was made real and opened up, they also recorded the way that God opened up the area of truth. It's there. The Jordan River experience was recorded in detail. The Red Sea experience was recorded in detail. The great experiences of defeating the gods of Egypt before they left was there in detail. The breaking of the bread that Christ did it, and that it's such an experience that those people could tell their grandkids and great-grandkids as He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed such a great multitude and still had more left over than where He started. It was a tremendous experience, but it's recorded in detail. What God does is never a light thing, and is never a thing to be spoken of derogatorily. It's never a thing to take lightly as far as our minds are concerned. But by the same token, it isn't the end of what He came to do, but it's a station along the way as God leads His people. Hallelujah. I don't know for sure what God intends with the way that He has ministered. I do know that the messages that He has brought have been pointing to Himself in a way that He wants to be known. Not. He wants to be known as a God who cares. He wants to be known as a God who has made that has made people His business. And He wants us to make people our business. Hallelujah. He's let us know that. He has let us know that worship is the most important thing in all the world. And that in worship, we're brought to a level of the highest of the angels. All of these beautiful truths that God has brought. And as you've seen recorded in that book, which is just a portion of what God has brought. They are all beautiful truths taught in the Word of God. Life-changing truths. One of the ladies who was here in the early service this morning told me of a letter she had gotten from a friend whose life has been turned around. She just got the letter yesterday. She read it to me over the phone. I talked to her this morning, and this is going to be happening. You're going to be hearing about it. There's no way in the world we can keep track. God is keeping track. Hallelujah. When He said to Gabriel, Gabriel, take that host of special forces, angels, out into the world and turn them loose on people who have loved ones who know the Lord. He did it. And He has withdrawn them. Hallelujah. Still working. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. But I wanted you to know that in the experiences that you may have, never stop that experience. If that experience has made God more real, then take the Word of God. And when you talk about the richness of God that has and the truths that have been made real to you, don't relate them. Don't forget the experience, but don't relate your truths to the gate. Relate them to the Word of God. And as you read the Word, discover wonderful passages of truth that will remind you of how good God is. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I mentioned to the people at the Montana camp that if they kept talking about me now for the next 6 months to their friends, they were going to get all of those people to start hating my name. And they would rue the day that they ever invited me to be their camp meeting speaker. If they were to go out and just say, Brother Buck says this, now Brother Buck says this, and Brother Buck says this. Now, the reason I said this, there were several of the pastors that were wanting to do this in their churches. They were going to start quoting me. I said, you can't do that. So I preached, I brought it right into my last sermon there, that you can't do this. I don't want them hating me. But more than that, I don't want them to be quoting me. I'd rather have them quote the Bible. Because all of those truths are Bible. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, when you see what God is doing, that it's good to remember the way that God introduced the truth, and it's good to thank God for the sun that's shining down and making the truth light. But let us remember this, that it is God. It is God's word that lives and abides forever. That's going to get the job done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he cares for you. I think of what it means to behold the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. Every person that the word speaks of that saw the Lord suddenly have a change in themselves, in their own lives. I think of Isaiah. If you want to turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, in the last verse of chapter 5, Isaiah was talking about the bleakness of the old world. And I'll tell you, folks, one of the blessings of this experience that God has given has been showing us the word and how we're supposed to look at things. He said there's nothing but blackness everywhere. That's the last verse of chapter 5. But he said, on a certain time, the Lord revealed himself to him. He said, I saw him high and lifted up. Oh, what a beautiful experience this was. But then he said, when I saw the Lord, then I looked down, and I saw the same earth that I was looking at before. And instead of looking so black and so bleak and everything was lost and ruined and destroyed just like the world today, he said, I looked down and I said, can this be the same place? After seeing God as he was and then beholding the earth as it was seen that under the glory of God, he said, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, in this world today, things look pretty black. Things are discouraging. If we started looking around, our hearts would be filled with perplexity. But God says, look up. And as we look up and let the word reveal and show us what God is like, hallelujah, we can look at this old world and say, hey, is that the same place that I was looking at? The whole earth is filled with his glory, and God is still in control. You believe that? Hallelujah. I think of Balaam when he saw the Lord. He looked up, and he said, now, this is the way it looks to the man who's caught a vision of the Almighty. It looked pretty bad. Everybody looked bad to him. But when he's caught a vision of the Almighty, he said, oh, things look so beautiful. I'm reminded of Philip when he cried out to Jesus. He said, if you'll show us the Father, Jesus, it's sufficient. There was a cry in his heart to see the Father. Oh, I want to see him. Moses had a chance. Didn't get to see his face, but he cried out, oh, God, let me see what you're like. Let me see what you're like. And when God came by and told him what he was like, he said, I want to tell you what I'm like, Moses. You've had a good idea of what I'm like, but you had it mixed up. I'm a God of wrath. I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God of love. But you had it upside down. You had me as a God of wrath. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm really like. I'm a God furries of love. You read it in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. I'm a God of love, a God of mercy, loving kindness, a God that's filled with compassion and righteousness. But he said, this doesn't mean that I'm going to accept sinners without them repenting or turning their lives over to God. He said, this will no means clear the guilty, but it'll let them know that I love them. And then he said, for those who refuse, then they experience my wrath. So God is letting, I'm giving you some of the truths that have been made real to me through this experience. God letting us know what he's really like. But you see, when we have it upside down, and this is one reason why God used these extraordinary means to let us know what God was like, was because the world as a whole had the truth upside down. They were looking at his wrath, and somehow in trying to dig down through his wrath to his love, their lives became so conditioned to in fear that it was very hard to accept. Plot. But as we roll it over, God said, if you get bathed in his love, you'll very likely, as you live in the light of his love, you'll never have to get down to find out what that other side is like. For it's reserved for those who refuse God. Admirable yet, I'm glad the Lord didn't worry about what people were going to say if he sent an angel down, since they couldn't see it themselves, and sent the angel down to say, hey, roll that orb of truth over. The way God wants to be seen. And for those who may not have this particular reference that he gave to me in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, where he said, I delight to be known as the God of loving kindness, of mercy, of justice, I delight to be known in this way. He wasn't doing away with it, but this is why I want to be known. Then he sent this special messenger because the world wasn't seeing it, to remind us that the word gospel means good news. And when Jesus said, take the good news to all the world, he meant take the good news that Jesus says that he has made a way, made it possible for us to move into fellowship with God. Hallelujah. That's good news. It's true that there are messages of wrath, there are messages of judgment, but they are not part of the good news. They are for people who refuse the good news. How about I? Aren't you glad for this news? You see, for years, for centuries, people have been looking in the Word of God, but somehow it's been hidden, the Word tells us, from their eyes. God said, its time is getting short, and man is going to have a little bit of help here in seeing what I really want them to know. Praise God.
Hallelujah. And it's the Word that's being made real. Praise God.
Well, we're here in the Lord's presence. I realize that we had a lot of parts this service, and I haven't preached you a full message, but I felt it's so important because there are going to be things happening that people may anchor their hope to an experience, and God says, no, love the experience, revel in it, enjoy it, but go on out into the truth that the experience is leading. Can we see it? Can you see this message God put on my heart? I want you to believe it. I want you to take that book, Angels on Assignment, and get those truths into your heart. Tie them to the Scripture. And as you talk to people, say, this is what the Bible says. Because that's what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to stand right now. I believe that there are people here this morning who have come with their hearts hungry for God. You have come because you have heard what God is doing. And the move of God's mighty angels in the world today is not just an experience through which people pass. It is going to be a continuing thing till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. And we have been made a part of what God is saying. Praise God forever. I wonder this morning how many there are in this room. You know that God has brought you here. You know that there may have been enmity between you and God or a dark cloud between that. But today you've come that you might hear those words. God is not angry with you anymore, but he has opened a way whereby you can come, and his arms are outstretched. And instead of punishment, he wants to pull you to his heart. And you're thankful for this morning. You haven't had a relationship with him that you've been satisfied with, but you want to give him that opportunity in your life this morning. Let's bow our heads right now. I believe there are 30 or 40 people here this morning that need to make this commitment to God. Let God know that you appreciate the fact that he loves you, Dodge. Can I see your hands through the belly? God is open to your heart. Yes. Yes, there are many, many hands up in the balcony. Yes, how about over on my right here? Others, yes, I see these hands right in the middle. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Yes, I see your hand over here. There have been at least 40 hands that have been lifted this morning. I'm going to ask right now that every believer here lift both hands, and those that have lifted your hands, lift both hands also. And right now I'm going to ask Jesus just to clinch the work that he said he would do. They that call on his name shall be saved. Praise God. God smiled on you. He brought you to this place. He opened the door of hope, and you're here now, selected by God to be in his presence. Praise God. I want you just to love him now from your heart in whatever way you want. Just worship the Lord and love him. For God saw that effort that you made this morning. You call his name, Jesus, and Jesus will do the rest. Praise the Lord. Let's call that name together. Jesus. 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 Now, Jesus, there are some hands that are reached out to you right now. They may have reached out to you for the first time, or they may have reached out many times, but you've heard their call. You've heard their cry. And today I ask that your hand would be reached out to them, that at this moment, because this is what you want to do, this is what you brought each one here today to do, would you take them into your arms, hold them close to your heart, and by the power of God, let them know that every record that has ever been against them is destroyed, and that today they're stepping over into a new horizon of life, that today they're entering into a new family, not only a new family, but a whole new race that Jesus caused to be brought forth through his death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this family. Thank you, God, for the many, many, many faiths and backgrounds that you brought us together from, and not looking at where we're from or our labels, but listening to our heart's cry. And we're here in your midst right now. Oh, how we love you. How we love you. How we look. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. I pray that this day will be the beginning of that whole new life. Oh, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 we love you, Jesus, we love you, hallelujah, for thy children who have known you and walked with you, Lord, would you hold them close to your heart right now, may they feel the very heart. Oh, God, may each one be challenged to take the good news to people everywhere. God is not angry with you anymore. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Jesus, feel this. The Lord has curbed your heart. The Lord your God has directed you to this house of the Lord today. You have heard his word. You have dealt the tug of his spirit. You have heard his voice as it has called to you, and you have opened your hearts. Today, the Lord would say to you, you are forgiven. You are my child, and I love you with an everlasting love. Reach out your heart to me. Love me in return, and I will walk with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your care. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you love him this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for, in an extraordinary way, of speaking to our hearts, of letting us know that you're on the job, that you are faithful to finish what you have started. Now, Lord, be with thy people as they leave this place. Bring us back to your house tonight. God, grant that throughout this day and in the service tonight, grant an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Before you go, I just feel like encouraging you. Well, in these last few moments, Spirit spoke to my heart. Tonight, we're going to not only speak about the light that comes through the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is going to make it happen, that lives that haven't been as yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit are going to be filled right here. We're going to have this a filling meeting tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can give them a flat Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We can't do the meditation. Where do you need the earth to do it? I'll be willing to do it. How do you do it?